Is there such a thing that for a spoiler alert from a movie from the 1980s, or is it fair game?
Well, you haven't watched Office Space yet, and so we still haven't told you anything about that movie.
But you have something to gain there.
And that's amazing, because there are Tannenisms to be had from that movie.
But you have something to gain there.
Sure do.
All right, let's lock up the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Time to talk about those guys from the north off a 2-2 draw with Dallas on the road Saturday night in San Jose this Saturday night, running second in the West, the point behind Sporting KC. He's the voice of the Portland Timbers. Follow on Twitter at Jake Zibben. Jake, how you doing?
Steve, I'm doing well. I say yes. You have to give a spoiler alert. There are a lot of movies I haven't seen, even from the 80s, even from the 90s. So I think, yes, give me a spoiler alert because I might see the movie down the way.
All right. Well, like if it's Gone with the Wind, the North wins. I'm not giving you a spoiler alert there.
Rosebud. What is Rosebud?
By the way, we need to clarify something. The announcement yesterday, longtime sports information director for the Ducks, Dave Williford, is stepping down. And I love the outpouring of support. Just a great guy, consummate pro. But something on your Twitter feed grabbed my attention. What is this Zibben rule I hear about?
Yeah, I didn't know about it until I left. So I obviously covered the Ducks for 4.5 years, 5 football seasons, mostly as a sports director at KECI down in Eugene, the ABC station. And apparently when I left, they enacted a Zibben rule, which I'm totally honored about. I think what it is I had a penchant for requesting interviews with injured players because I figure maybe they'll tell me that they're not injured anymore and they're coming back because, you know, Oregon, of course, famously, at least under Chip Kelly and Mark Helfrich, very coy about injuries. They wouldn't give any updates. But the players would still technically be available to be requested. So I would request them, and typically the interview request would get denied because they were injured, or the player would just say nothing of value at all. But I believe they enacted, after I left, a Zibben rule that if the player did not play in the previous week's game, they're no longer available to be requested for interviews. So I have to wait till they come back and request them. Apparently, that's my legacy in the Eugene news world.
Gotta love it. You left your mark. The announcement last week about this major expansion for Providence Park, like we talked about last time, since they stepped up to MLS, Timbers have sold out every home game. So what could you tell us about this? This sounds pretty exciting.
It looks awesome. If you go to Timbers.com, you can see the mock-ups if you haven't yet. Providence Park is in such a difficult spot as far as expansion is concerned. If you haven't been there, it's in the middle of downtown Portland, and it's just a small footprint. You can't really do much with it. You can't really build up. You can't really build out in many ways. The one area where there is maybe some flexibility is on the east side, which right now kind of looks into the city. The proposed plan is to build up kind of 4 levels of seating that would add 4,000 seats that would increase the capacity to over 25,000. It would be totally privately funded, privately financed, which of course is a big deal now in stadiums and has become more so. There was an era where stadiums nationwide, every sport, were heavily publicly financed. I think we're seeing that come to an end. This expansion would be 100% privately financed. It does need to be approved by the city, so that's where the process is going now. But it'd be massive. There's a 13,000 season ticket waiting list for the Timbers. People want to come to these games, and they can't get tickets. It's one of the hottest tickets in town. So adding 4,000 seats would do a good bit towards relieving kind of the stress on the demand side of the market for tickets.
You know, I read an interview with your owner, Merritt Paulson. I think it was on the MLS site, and then ESPN picked it up. He made an interesting observation, and he said, you know, despite L.A. being the number two market in the country, a key for the league, that for various reasons, there's actually more pressure on the coach in Portland, Caleb Porter, than the head guy in L.A., now Kurt Analfo, despite the brighter lights. What did you make of that? That was kind of a neat take.
I get it. I get where Merritt's coming from. And I'll kind of flip it on to my situation as the voice of the Timbers. Obviously, Portland is not a major sports market. We're in the 20s when you rank them. But as far as soccer is concerned, it's the best in the country. So for me, when I'm thinking, well, what team would I rather call games for the Timbers? There's none. I mean, yeah, the LA Galaxy might have, typically have the biggest stars in the league, but they don't anymore. And they're in LA, and New York City FC has David Villa, and they're in New York. But as far as calling games for a team that matters, where the fan base cares so much, there's no other place that I'd rather be than Portland. And I think it's similar what Merritt was saying about Caleb Porter, is that the Timbers in their market are arguably the most relevant team in MLS. You've got some others that are similar, Seattle, of course, up north, some of the Canadian teams, and then new teams like Atlanta, Orlando are getting that way. But I don't think there's a team that's more relevant in the local market than the Timbers. So I think that's what Merritt's going for, and that's what makes my job so awesome. I think everyone that works around the Timbers, there's pressure, but it's also great to be in this environment.
Talking with Jake Zivin, the voice of the Timbers. Today, an article in the Oregonian from Jamie Goldberg. Soccer, as much as any sport, star-driven, be it the Premier League, the national teams. Everybody's got their top gun that they lean on to score. And while, you got your top scorers there, that goal by Sebastian Blanco against Dallas, that meant 10 different goal scorers in 9 games, unmatched by any other team. How has that balance contributed to this early season success?
Yeah, there's no doubt that it's massive, and they've been talking about it. Caleb Porter and the players have been talking about it since the beginning of the season. Last year, I think it wasn't as balanced. It was too unbalanced. You had Fernando Adi and Diego Valeri pouring in goals. But that was kind of it, and they needed contributions from more than just the two guys, and they've gotten it in an amazing way this year. 10 goal scorers, that's more goal scorers than San Jose, the opponent this week, has total goals. They only have 9 this season. And Timbers have 10 guys that have scored at least a goal and a couple that have scored 5. It's massive towards their success. They've been the best attack in the league so far this year. There's so many guys that can hurt you, so many guys that can score. You can't just take away Fernando Adi, or can't just take away Diego Valeri, because everybody else in the field can score as well. It makes the team super hard to defend. I think it's been a big reason for the early season success.
Yeah, kind of piggybacking on that, when the Timbers won the title in 2015, they had 41 goals. That was the fewest of any team that made the playoffs. 48 last year in 38 games, and as we mentioned, 20 through 9 this year. Safe to say that even though they had won the title, they looked and they were like, yeah, down the road, we're going to need some more firepower and address that?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the thing with the title year is they turned it on late. And last 3 games of the regular season, I think they scored 8 goals. Sorry, take it back. They scored 10 goals in the last 3 games of the regular season. And then just continued their scoring success going into the playoffs. So it was a weird season because they were kind of just right there on the edge of making the playoffs. And then all of a sudden, play to their potential last 3 games of the regular season and into the playoffs, and went on this remarkable run to winning the MLS Cup. Last year, yeah, they scored a lot of goals. They gave up a lot of goals, too. But I still think they wanted to increase the depth in general. That 2015 team had that depth, and they got goals down that stretch run from everybody. I don't know the exact number of how many players, but it was probably close to 10. So they needed to get back to that kind of depth this year, and they did. We're seeing it statistically on paper, and I also think we're just seeing it. We watch the games. I mean, they had no Diego Valeri last week. They had no Fernando Adi the week before, and they got 2 good results, a win at home and then a draw on the road at Dallas, who had been one of the best teams in the league.
All right, Jake, before I ask you about this week's match, I had Aaron Fentress on last hour. Obviously, you guys share your love for Chicago sports. So let's go back a week. Bears set to go 3rd in the draft. Then the trade. You know how it all worked out. They end up with Mitch Trubisky at 2. So
yeah.
What was your initial reaction? And have you changed your opinion at all with a week to let it marinate?
I was laughing when it happened. I was in my car driving home from work, listening to the draft on the radio. And I hear, okay, the Bears are trading up. gave up a lot to move up one spot. You know, I'm thinking, okay, maybe they want Solomon Thomas, and they had to give it up because San Francisco was going to pick Solomon Thomas. And I thought, you know, the defense needs help. That's okay. Then, you know, they announced Mitch Trubisky, and I just start laughing. I mean, I will say this. My general philosophy is not to judge on draft day, whether it be the NBA, whether it be the NFL, whether it be Major League Soccer. So I'll say it with that caveat. But, yeah, I'm not a fan of it. I don't know how you can be. I was not convinced of Trubisky in the little bit I saw him in college. Anytime you have a guy, any quarterback that doesn't have a lot of success in college, I'm skeptical of. Any quarterback that kind of rises in the combine, I'm skeptical of. You know, I wanted Deshaun Watson as a winner, and I believe in that. I'm the type of guy that would pick a winner. I hope I'm wrong. I still think even if he pans out, they gave up too much to move up one spot to get a guy they could have got without moving up. Rest of the draft was weird, too, with FCS guys, D2 guys, but that's life as a Bears fan, right? I mean, I was 6 months old when they won the Super Bowl in 85. Ever since then, it's just been headache after headache, quarterback after quarterback. So it's almost fun. It's interesting, but yeah.
So I guess
I'm not a fan.
So you're not still living off Devin Hester returning the opening kick of the Super Bowl against the Colts?
I will always live off that. That was probably my premier moment as a conscious Bears fan. My parents tell me I was cheering really loud in the 86 Super Bowl, in January of 86, the Super Bowl, but I don't remember.
All right. Well, finally, this match Saturday, 7:30 against San Jose. Timbers actually the only team in the West with two road wins. It seems like San Jose is kind of a grinder. They don't score much or give up much. What could you tell us about the Earthquakes and what to expect in this matchup?
Yeah, that's right on. That's always been San Jose's MO. Going back years, grinder, I think it's a great way to put it. Difficult to play against. They do try to just kind of grind you down, get a late goal to secure a result. They're known for that league-wide over the past decade or so, pulling these results out in stoppage time after difficult games. And with the Timbers, when these two teams get together, it can be a bit of a grind. San Jose can maybe be a little chippy. They can be a physical team, I think, that can bring out some tension in the game, certainly between the fan bases. They're two teams that are close in proximity in the West Coast. So while it's not quite the rivalry of a Seattle or a Vancouver, there is still usually a little bit extra in the air when these two teams get together. San Jose has been weird this year. They started out flying, two straight wins to begin the season, and looked really good in doing so, looked dangerous in the attack. They came down to earth in a pretty big way since then. Did get a win last week on the road at Minnesota, but Minnesota is an expansion team. I think this is a game that the Timbers feel like they got to get a result in, or should get a result in. So they have high expectations, this team does, and they're high expectations for the Timbers this year. And I think you look at the records, you look at how the teams have played, and specifically the road results already this year, the Timbers are going to be confident going on the road as they have been, and think that, you know, there's no reason why they shouldn't get a win. Certainly, you know, a draw, a point on the road in MLS is always a good point. So if they can come back with at least a point, that'll be great. But I'm sure they're going there with the thought in mind that they're gonna go for all 3 points, play aggressive, attack as we've seen them do this year, and you know, if they're able to attack, and San Jose doesn't make it too difficult, I think, you know, they could easily come back with a win.
All right. Hey, Jake, great catching up as always. Enjoy. Catch him on Twitter, at Jake Zivin. Maybe we'll learn about a new Zivin rule. And obviously, it's early in May, season's long. We look forward to chatting you up and talking Timbers all season long.
We will. And I didn't say it earlier, but happy retirement to Dave Williford. I said it on Twitter.
Yep.
I loved working with him. He's a great guy and a deserved legend. So just want to mention that, and yeah, we'll talk later.
All right. Have a good one, Jake.